Hi, thanks for joining us on Hometown to Hollywood. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide, and today my guest on this podcast is Anna Grace Barlow. Anna Grace is best known for her work on Summer Forever, The Fosters, and Scream Queens, and she's made appearances on numerous other shows, including Bones, Castle, Young and Hungry, Faking It, Best Friends Whenever, and I Didn't Do It. She's fresh off the world premiere of The Prom in Atlanta. Anna Grace, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is so fun. Well, I want to just get right down to it. When did you know that you wanted to be an actor?
I guess, I don't know, because I played softball. I did other things. I like to draw. I feel like I was always kind of around music, though. My parents are doctors, which is funny because most of my sisters, I have three sisters, and three out of four of us are in the arts. So it's funny to have doctor parents. But there was always music. My dad loved playing piano, and he had been in a band in college. So I was always around music. I was always encouraged. But I didn't really get into acting until probably 8 or 9, I would say. And I think that it was from watching The Parent Trap. Because I came downstairs singing L-O-V-E one day, and my dad was like, we should get her in some voice lessons. She likes to sing. And my older sister was interested in voice lessons as well. But she's the one who's ended up, like, she's a nurse now. So she's the one who's ended up not being in the arts. But she and I started going to voice lessons. And, of course, I wanted to do it because she was doing it. And I just completely fell in love with it. So I started in theater. So I didn't really start with I started more from, like, the singing standpoint instead of, like, acting. I grew up in Jackson, Mississippi, and there was a theater company there that was, like, in a warehouse called Actors Playhouse. And basically there was, the company is what it was called. And it was kids ages 8 to 18, and we would just do choreographed dances to canned music, karaoke music, and we'd sing. And so my first year in it was like my fifth grade year, it must have been, because it was my last year in Jackson. So I felt like I'd found this amazing place, and I got to sing Cooties from Hairspray, which is amazing. That dove is literally amber. So, like, dreams. So I was like the Cooties soloist. I was like, I found my people. I found my place. And my parents were like, we're moving to Birmingham, Alabama. And after 1 year of that, and I felt like I found, you know, like what I was supposed to be doing. And I was so upset because I was like, there's no way there's going to be anything like Actors Playhouse anywhere else in the whole world. And so my mom did a little research, and there was a regional theater in Birmingham. Still is. It was called Summerfest at the time. Now it's called Red Mountain Theater Company. So it was the summer before sixth grade, and we hadn't even moved to Birmingham yet. We were moving, like, in the middle of the summer. So this was at the beginning of the summer, and they do, like, a summer workshop. So my mom called the people at the Red Mountain Theater Company, and she said, I've got some daughters, and they love singing and dancing, and they want to do the workshop. Can we get them in? And so we drove to Birmingham and stayed in a hotel to go to this theater workshop there. And it was not a warehouse. It was amazing.
It was a real theater. I think I've seen pictures of it. It looks pretty amazing.
It's amazing. And so I was so in love, and I auditioned for one of their, like, year-round performing groups. So there's four now, but there was three at the time, the youngest group, the middle group, and the oldest group. So I started in the youngest group, and I did it all through high school. So that was where I feel like my best friends were, you know, was this theater company, and we would rehearse every Sunday, like, all day. And we would have a Christmas show, and then a show in February, and then they had a season of shows like any other regional theater. So I found that, and that was kind of how I just really got into it. And it wasn't until after, like, going to college for a year and coming out here randomly on a trip for a couple weeks one summer that I was like, I went to a TV acting class, and I was like, this is another world. And I completely fell in love with, like, film acting, and it's my favorite thing in the world. So my love of acting has had a lot of phases to get to where I am now with, like, how I love acting and how I feel like acting, you know, brings singing along. So I feel like I'm an actor first, and I love singing through acting and dancing through acting, but I love that acting is, like, my first love.
I love this story because it really shows how you can fall in love with something, feel like it doesn't get better than this, but then through necessity, yep. be exposed to something else and go, oh, wait a minute, yeah. it can get better than this. Yeah. And then again and again and again. And what yeah. can seem like, you know, loss and adversity, like yeah. having to move away from this beloved, amazing situation, it can open up all kinds of new possibilities yeah. you couldn't have even imagined.
Right. I would not be here if I hadn't spent those years at Red Mountain.
Now,
I don't think.
Jordan Fisher got his start at Red Mountain
yes.
too, right?
We met each other that very first summer that I was talking about before sixth grade. We were in the
You're
same
like
group.
10 or something?
We were like 10, yeah.
You're dying.
Yeah, I turned 11 that summer. So I think that we were really, really young. We were in the Lion King group. So each group was like a musical. We were in Lion King together. So.
I'm just chills.
Isn't that amazing?
It's so cool. Yeah. And he just got...
Hamilton.
Hamilton.
On Broadway. So crazy. Going to see him as soon as possible.
It's just the biggest thrill watching you guys all find your way out into the world. And we're going to talk a little bit later about your time with the prom. I'm super excited
yeah.
about that. But anyway, yay, lots of good things happening where you are. So you fall in love with it before mm-hmm. you're even 10.
Yes.
And maybe, did you say Freaky Friday? Or no. Parent Trap.
Parent Trap.
I always confuse
yes.
those two because
yes,
it's a duality.
Yes.
That's really funny.
Both
They're
Lindsay
always...
Lohan.
That's it too, right? Weird. So, my brain. Was there somebody in particular who inspired you? Like, you're like, oh man, if I could just have their career, if I could be like them. Or, not everybody has that, but was there someone for you? Or has there been?
I don't know. All I know is that, like, my dad wrote music, and I loved his music, and he would kill me for telling the world that, but he had, like, an album that was only on his iTunes, so he didn't, like, show it to anybody, but this, like, well-produced album, and I remember I went onto his iTunes on his computer and, like, ripped the songs off and sent them to myself so I could listen to them, but I grew up thinking that he wrote Tiny Dancer,
Aww.
Literally, like, because we listened to it every day in the car, and so I thought, oh, he wrote this song for me, so I just, like, always loved music, so I think if there was a person who I felt like I was inspired by in terms of like singing and expressing myself in that way, it would be my dad.
I love that. Well, you know, it's easy to forget that the world is genuinely filled with deeply, deeply multi-talented people. Mm-hmm. And just because we don't know about them or they don't have some kind of career that lands them on a magazine cover
right.
doesn't mean they're not doing amazing work out there,
yeah.
you know? So
yeah.
that is so cool. Well, so you got started by community theater, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Did you take classes, or?
Well, it was sort of like training mm-hmm. weekly. So on the Sundays where we would rehearse all day, they'd bring in choreographers from New York or just, like, local dance teachers, and they'd have them choreograph for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then over the summer, there was, like, that 2 to 3 week intensive where they would bring in teachers from New York and L.A., and we would do, like, acting through song classes, just acting classes, dance classes. So I did take dance, like, at a dance studio, and I took voice lessons as well. But no real, like, acting training when I was in high school.
It sounds a lot like what Dove did, which is the sort of learning by doing
method.
You
yes,
know?
Yes.
You get cast in something, and you learn by...
And you get thrown into it.
Yeah, it's like thrown in the water,
yeah.
learn by doing it,
yeah.
swim.
yeah.
Well, so you're doing this. It sounds like it was fairly amenable with a standard school situation. What was your school experience like?
Yes. I think all my teachers knew where my head was. I think that I am a person who needs to apply myself, and I really applied myself with the arts. And I was really good at history and English. And so I think when a math teacher sees a kid who's like, not interested in math, who's in AP history. They're like, they know that this kid isn't just a slacker. It's
mm-hmm.
just my interests were very strong in one way. I knew what I wanted to do. I knew what interested me. And I did well enough to get by, which is, you know, I hate saying that, but I just did it. I did well enough to get by, and that's really it.
Everybody's got their priorities,
yeah.
you know? And it sounds like you were chasing your love
mm-hmm.
of performance at a sort of semi-professional,
right.
but not fully professional basis
right.
through high school. So
yes.
you didn't have to make the kind of tough, tough choices that a lot of younger kids do
right.
who are like going after professionally and they can't pull it off with normal school.
Right. I wish that I had been homeschooled. I feel like because my older sister kind of dropped out of the arts kind of after middle school, I was like the guinea pig for figuring out what to do with the kid who wants to pursue this. and my parents, who are incredible. And I heard Ryan say in his episode how important that is. It is truly the bread and butter of the business if you're a kid growing up wanting to pursue it. So, you know, my mom was always like, you know, I knew what I wanted to do. I did my research. I talked to people. I was like, what do I do from here? How do I make this happen? And what are my options? And my mom was always there to help. But my younger sister is homeschooled, and she's already done with her senior year. She wants to be a recording artist, and she's moving out here in January. So it's like, it took me going, it would have been okay if I had homeschooled. It would have been fine, and I would have been able to work, and I would have been able to, you know, like, but we just didn't know that at the time.
No, no.
So it just, it's been a big learning experience and really cool to have two younger sisters who I'm like, I've been there. Yeah. And I feel like this is the decision that you need to make right now. And just like being able to know all the different sides of a decision now for my younger sisters.
That's so nice for them that they've got you, well, you know.
They're amazing. So happy to help. I'm a big stage mom for them, so.
Well, so you attended a year of college.
Yes.
Were you going after a theater degree, or what did that look like?
It's interesting because I think that around age 12, I said, I'm moving to New York. I want to be on Broadway. I'm going to do this, and I'm just going to move to New York. I don't even want to go to college. And for a while, my parents were like, okay, like, that's a possibility. we'll think about it. And then I got to senior year and everybody was auditioning for colleges. And I decided to audition for schools in New York. So my decision of where to audition for, I didn't audition for any California schools, any Midwestern schools, any Southern schools. It was like, I want to be in New York. So I just chose a bunch of schools in that region to audition for. And, you know, I realized at those auditions how not ready I was and how, like, to be just there. But I knew that also I needed to know people my own age who were trying to pursue the same thing as me. And so that's why I feel like school is important. Mm-hmm. But I chose a school. I chose Pace University, mm-hmm. which is in Manhattan, which was amazing because that's where I wanted to be. But they allow you to audition. They allow you to get an agent and a manager and to go out an audition and to work
while you're in school. That's unusual.
It's unusual for sure, especially with the musical theater program. So the way it would work is that if you were to book something like a national tour that took you just away, or like a big regional show that took you away, you'd get a practicum credit. So you would get some sort of dance, acting, vocal credit for that time that you spent working.
That's so
which is
cool.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So that was what was really attractive about them, because I didn't want to go behind anybody's back.
No,
you know what I mean?
You can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I had friends at NYU who like snuck out to auditions, and I wanted a professor who was like, get ready for this audition, let's work on it, and you go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was important to me, and I'm really glad that I chose that school. And it was amazing to be able to go out and audition and learn in the classroom and then just be thrown out into it. Because something about New York that's different about LA is that there's fewer casting directors. There's only a few. Mm-hmm. So if you can start building relationships early, I figured I might be a few years ahead of people graduating and moving here if I start auditioning now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the people who don't even start until they're done with college, right. Like, you've lost a bit of time there.
Right. So that was what I really, and I felt like I had lost time because I knew of people my age who were already working in Los Angeles who had been on Broadway when they were 13, you know, like in 13. I was like, those were all the kids that were my age.
Yep.
So the people I went to school with, like a few members of the 13 on Broadway cast, and I was super starstruck. But it was like, I was around people who had worked their whole life. So I felt like I had lost time even at that point. So it was great to be able to audition, and that's why I chose that school. And I had every intention of going back after freshman year, and then I came here for
so
2 weeks.
You just come to LA randomly, like, for fun, to get some sunshine, or what?
Well, I had hooked up with this manager, like, long before, like, when I was in high school, who had some connections with Birmingham.
Lynn?
Yes, Lynn. So she's Jordan Fisher's manager as well. But she had said, you know, let me put you on tape for Glee. Let's put you on tape for this and that. So I was kind of like talking with Pamela Fisher from across the country. And I was like, I'm not good enough to be doing this. But I made some tapes for Glee where I was singing. But the acting was struggling because I'd never really taken acting classes, you know. But the singing was like super impressive to them for whatever reason. So that was exciting. But I said, I want to be in New York. I'm about to go to school. So that the summer before my freshman year, Lynn said, how about you come out to LA just before you go to school and get some headshots taken? Because LA casting directors like LA headshots, New York casting directors don't care.
Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to listen to her. So I got headshots taken right before my 18th birthday, which I still use today.
Yeah.
They're
we probably
great
look
headshots.
Just the same.
Well, luckily, a little bit. They were great headshots. I went to Fly Girl. She was amazing.
Okay. Fly Girl plug.
Yeah, it was great. So I went out and I got headshots taken and I met Pamela for the first time. So when I went on tape for Glee, I was still a senior in high school. It was like summer after my senior year. And so I was like not really interested in being in LA. And so when I met with Pam and Domina Holbeck, I was like, I'm about to go to New York. And they were like, okay, like have fun. Like it just felt like, I left that meeting going, so they were so nice. Like I want to work with them, but they weren't interested because I wasn't there.
Yeah. You know what I mean? If you're not in LA, it's hard to represent you.
It's hard.
Yeah.
So, you know, they at the time didn't know the New York office as well as they do now.
Right.
But they basically like made a call, asked if I could have a meeting when I got to New York, which was super nice of them. So I met with the agents that were there at the time who are not there anymore, but long story. But I met with them and they were like, okay, we'll freelance you. So I didn't sign with them or anything, but they sent me out for things here and there. And it was fun to gain some experience definitely there that whole first year. And I did like a reading, which is, you know,
readings are fun.
Readings are so fun. I did like a couple my freshman year of college. And then after that, it was this summer and I decided to stay in New York. I was like, I don't want to go home. I'm just going to get a sublet. So I moved from my dorm into a sublet apartment in New York. And I was auditioning and hanging out with friends and stuff like that. And I saw on backstage, you're going to laugh, a breakdown for Heathers, the musical.
Oh my goodness.
In Los Angeles.
Get out, really?
And I was like, huh. Well, it the way that it was going to run would put me back at school right when I was supposed to be.
Pretty
much. And I
was
like, huh. So I called Lynn and I said, Lynn, I want in. I want an audition. And she said, let me see if I can get the sides. So she kind of like black market got the sides for me. Like I was not given a tape request. She just found the sides and told me to, you know, film yourself singing 16 bars of a song that sounds kind of poppy. I knew it was Lawrence O'Keefe. Is that his name?
Yes.
Yes.
Lawrence
O'Keefe. Who did music for Legally Blonde as well. So yeah. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Amazing music.
Yes. Amazing music. So I was so excited and I made the tape and just and got the sides and filmed all the sides. And then I sent it off, and I was like, she was like, we're going to try to just get them to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, I have not been granted a tape request. This was just completely, you know, all me and Lynn. And so I had plans to go home for a week, because my little sister was in a production of 42nd Street with a bunch of my friends from high school. So I was like, I got to go back and see that. I needed to get my driver's license renewed, because I'd been living in New York, and it was completely expired. And then I was just going to, like, hang out with my family for a week. And then from there, I was going to fly to L.A. just because I was going for, like, a two-week trip. Mm-hmm. To stay with Jordan Fisher's family and, like, hang out and go see Pam and Domina. And Lynn was like, you should, like, maybe take a trip out to L.A. this summer. So I was like, okay. And then that's why I was excited to send the tape because I was like, let them know that I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
And, like, just, like, say, you know, she's living in New York, but she's going to be there. So I, like, literally pitched myself to these people via email. So just forward this.
Suzanne, did you talk to her at all?
No.
Okay.
No. I went home. So I got home on a Thursday, and it was, like, 6 p.m., and we're driving home from the airport, and my phone rings, and it's Lynn. And I had sent the tape probably the previous Monday. And she said, so, Heathers wants you to come out to LA for callbacks, but
Ooh.
You need to be here Saturday, which was 2 days later.
Oh my God, because it's Thursday.
Right. But I was not planning on being in LA for another week. I was supposed to, you know, be home for a minute. So I first called Jordan and I was like, so how do you feel about me coming a week early and staying my whole trip as well? And he was like, oh, come on, like, you know, you're so welcome. They were amazing.
They're the best.
They're the best family.
Such a good family.
And so my mom was like, well, we got to get your driver's license renewed so that we can get you a rental car. So I had to go to the DMV straight
on
from the airport.
Day.
Yeah. And then I got to see 42nd Street Friday night, and I flew Saturday to Los Angeles.
I love
it. It was amazing. It was crazy. And so I didn't get it, obviously. I went to a couple callbacks, and it was really fun.
The music's amazing.
The music's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, I loved L.A., and I loved that there was theater in L.A., and And so anyways, the following Sunday, so like my first Sunday there, Jordan was like, I'm going to take you to this thing called family dinner.
Oh.
You know about family dinner.
That's where we met, I think.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So I just met all of these people who were the sweetest, down-to-earth, hardworking kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be one of them so badly. I was
who
like,
wouldn't want to be one of those kids?
These
that was
people.
The most amazing group. And the Benwards brought everybody together. Luke Benward's family.
Yes. And it was just like, Jordan was like, oh, here's this person who's awesome. And it wasn't about the work they'd done. It wasn't about the industry at all. It was about, we're people and we're like coming together for fellowship. It was beautiful.
Like passionate young artists who are trying to make the world a better place through their gifts.
Yeah. And I just loved every single person. And after Jordan introduced me to them, I remember Dove was like, oh, give me your phone. She put her number on my phone. Just like, I was like, these people, they're so sweet. Everybody was so sweet. And I wanted these people to be my friends.
Yeah.
I was like, these people are amazing.
It's a special group.
It's a really special group. And I completely attribute my very positive LA experience to the people Jordan has introduced me to, 100%.
Shout out Jordan Fisher.
Shout out Jordan Fisher. He's best. You know, after that first week, I didn't even book the job. Didn't come close. But I called my mom and I said, God, I feel like I need to stay. She was like, what?
Yeah. What a surprise that must have been. And for you too, right?
Because I was like, I was New York for life.
Yeah.
I mean.
Musical theater girl.
Musical
that means
girl.
New York to most people.
Yeah, right. And what I knew about New York from spending a year there is that it was cold. And sometimes very dark. And, you know, it was a place where I felt like I needed to be doing something like school or like working to be happy.
Yeah.
But even when I didn't book the job in LA, I was happy because look at it here.
Mm-hmm.
It's so sunny and beautiful. And the people around me were happy.
Yep.
And doing what they loved. And there wasn't any darkness.
Well, and there seems to be, I mean, I know it's not like this in all the circles, but in my experience too, there seems to be a general sort of like, you're happy for people when they book stuff.
Authenticity.
Authenticity,
yeah.
and positive support.
Yes.
And like, there's room for everybody here.
Right.
You don't feel like, it's not quite so zero sum, like,
exactly.
You got the pie, so I don't get it now.
Right.
You know.
It's like, and in New York, and the reason for that, I think, after, you know, comparing and contrasting, is that here, there's a new episode of every show, every week.
Yeah.
There's a new movie. There's a new web series. There's a new commercial. There's everything. And there's theater here. But there, at the top of the craft, is Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
How many shows go to Broadway every year? 10?
How many roles are there?
Exactly. You know, how many roles are for you? One, maybe two?
One, maybe two.
So it's much more. It's a much more competitive environment. I find it to be slightly more, I hesitate to say negative, but just more competitive in that way.
Mm-hmm. More intense, maybe.
More intense. Yeah, more intense. And in L.A., I just feel like all us blonde girls who go audition together, we're friends. We're like, hey, girl. And if one blonde girl isn't there the next week, we're like, she booked that.
Yeah.
She better work.
That's
last
right.
week. You know what I mean? So it's a much more, I just feel happier. It's
mm-hmm.
like, it's not as, there's not so much stress because there's so much opportunity.
Well, and this is not to slam New York for all of you people out there.
Of course.
Diehard New York
I love
people.
New York.
I love New York, too. I've always loved New York. And actually, when Dove was pushing on me, daily, the year she was 13 before we moved to LA,
yeah.
I was pushing back and saying, well, what about New York? I'd rather live in New York. New York's like culture, and New York is,
right.
you know, history, and New York is theater. And then she, you know, pitched me on why LA made more sense.
Yeah.
And there was kind of no getting around it. There is a lot more work and opportunity here.
Right. And
makes things easier.
Exactly.
Well, so let's double back to your story. This is so fun. I love hearing about how people got from A to B,
right.
you know, or A to wherever you are at this point. You're past B for sure. So you signed with your manager, Lynn, while you were still back in Birmingham?
Yes. So the story behind that is that Jordan and her kind of connected when we were 10, when we were 11. So very quickly, she and Jordan, you know, he was, because he's star. So he was kind of back and forth between LA all through junior high school, and eventually moved our junior year of high school. He moved to LA permanently. And when I was a senior, I was like a counselor at this camp. So I wasn't even taking the camp anymore. I was a counselor. And I had Lynn every single year in TV film class at the workshop. And then that last year, I was a counselor to a bunch of 12-year-olds. And I came in and I was like a reader for them in their class. And she was like, so what, like, what, when did you start doing Red Mountain? I was like, like 8 years ago.
Like, we met a long time ago.
Remember me?
Yeah, but she was like, can I put you on tape? And so that's where it all started, is like when I was a senior. And then after I did a few tapes, she was like, I want to work with you. And we signed a contract before I went to school. So that's kind of how things with Lynn started. She's like my second mom. She's seen me at my worst and at my most frustrated. And I feel like I can tell her anything. And I feel like I can just be completely honest with how I feel with Lynn.
That's huge. I talk to a lot of people about, you know, how do you know if you're going to sign with the right agent or the right manager or not? And to me, a lot of it is like this very gut, heart-based feeling. Like, do you feel like you could call them late at night with something hot that couldn't wait? Like, would they take your call? Yeah. Do you feel safe with them?
Yeah.
You know, do you trust them? Because basically you're handing over your life to them in some ways, you know? Yeah. It's really important to have that sort of intimate bond, which, you know, it doesn't start from scratch that way. Right. It has to get, you know, earned and stuff. But to at least start out feeling like this is someone I could, like, have a long-term, serious, close relationship with is everything.
It's like any relationship,
it
too.
It is.
Because they have to be crazy about you.
Yes.
And I think that's, like, kind of the number one thing with a manager or an agent is, like, they need to be crazy about you.
They need to be crazy about you because they have to roll up their sleeves and work so hard to get you into these rooms and navigate the drama and the stuff that inevitably comes up in a career like this, no matter who you are. It's just everything to have somebody like that on your team. Well, so I usually counsel people to start with an agent first because in California, the law is managers aren't supposed to be able to get you work. Only agents are. So if you start with the manager, it's like, well, that's nice, but you don't have the person you need who's licensed and bonded to get you work. So the cool thing, the one upside to starting with a manager is the manager can then get you a meeting with an agent that you might not be able to get on your own. Is that what happened with you and Pam?
Yes, because Jordan was with Pam.
Uh-huh.
And so Lynn was like, Lynn and Pam became friends, obviously, over those 8-9 years. And I'm pretty sure Lynn was working with Pam even before that. But they were friends. And, you know, she said, let's get you in. I don't know how it's going to go. I can't promise you anything. But I think that she's going to want to help you. And I think that it took some... I had to show them because I had come the year before and been like, I'm so New York, that when I came and I decided to live there, they were like, are you sure?
You're not just
going to run back to New York, are you? And I was like, nope, I'm here. Like, I promise. And kind of broke my promise by accident about 6 months later because my first 6 months in LA were tough. I didn't have any friends that were really close, no family. And I say this to my friends who I've convinced to move out to LA, and they're like, it's so lonely at first because it's different in New York and that 9th Avenue is like the high school hallway. Mm-hmm. You'll see all your ex-boyfriends, all your friends, everyone you've ever taken a class with. You'll run into somebody every 2 minutes. And you'll see somebody at a restaurant when you just go to get takeout and you end up sitting there with them and you hung out with somebody. It was human interaction. But in LA, friendships take work. You have to plan to drive to each other.
Yeah, it's geographically so different. In New York, you're literally on foot and on top of each other.
Yeah.
You can't help but run into people you
exactly.
know. Whereas in LA, it's so spread out and you're not on foot almost anywhere and you're in a car and there's traffic.
Yeah, exactly. So it takes a lot of effort. It's like, I gotta get in my car and go drive to my friend's house or to whatever restaurant. And so I found it hard to make friends. And I got a job at a coffee shop called Priscilla's in Burbank.
Priscilla's.
Yes. So I was working there because I told my dad, you know, I left school, and so I'm going to work. This is what I'm going to do. And I was auditioning a lot for Disney Channel, and I was taking film acting classes with Candy Kinnicky, who's a friend of Lynn Mark's. Mm. And she was helping me transition from theater to film, like she had done with Jordan. Sort of just, there's a lot of differences, like a lot of technical differences. Like, I started off just not moving my eyebrows anymore. And that was, like, the biggest, like, it was, like, a breakthrough when I stopped moving my eyebrows when I was acting. Because I was like, do people really talk with their eyebrows in everyday life? No.
That's the theater thing. Interesting.
Yeah. And another big thing, like my second big breakthrough was in theater when you're talking and then someone else has a line, everyone on stage is still and looks at that person because you have to show the audience where to look.
Yes.
But in film, you react to everything they're saying. Even if somebody else is talking, you're like, oh, you could be trying to interrupt them. You could be reacting in any certain way, but I was like, that blew my mind, yeah. Those two things. Yeah. But I learned so much from Candy. And then I went to Amy Linden, the Linden Technique. She has a book. And she calls herself a booking coach. And so I had been on a bunch of auditions, and I felt like they had gone well. And I had one for a Disney Channel show, my very first Disney Channel audition. So I asked Jordan, like, who he would recommend, and he told me he had been to Amy Linden. So I went to her, it was Austin and Allie on Disney Channel. And I was so excited. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going out for a Disney Channel show. This is amazing for a guest star. And so I went in and I went into Amy Linden the day before. I said, I'm going for a Disney Channel show tomorrow. I need a Disney Channel scene. So she gave me a Disney Channel scene and really helped me. And then the next day I went in and I pinned it, which is like my first pin. Was now, after like a few months.
Explain to people who don't know what that means, that means.
Okay. So a pin, I guess the way it happened with this one is I went in initially and then probably on like a Tuesday. And then that Wednesday, I found that I had a callback for Thursday. And then I went to the callback Thursday and I was told I had a producer session for Friday.
That's a lot for a guest star role. They're not normally that complex.
A couple of them have been, but then sometimes it's like you go in once. And
yeah,
then
it's yours.
Who knows? But like, so it was Friday and I think it's because I'd had a pre-read. I think it's because nobody knew who I was. I had to do a pre-read. So I went in Friday and it was me and like, you know, six or seven other girls. And then on the way home, Lynn called me and said, you're pinned. And I was like, what does that mean? I have no idea.
Sounds painful.
It sounds painful. It could, she was like, it kind of means you're on a veil, which is what they used to call it, apparently. And it could mean there's you and one other person. It could mean there's you and three other people. But it means your tape has made it into a small group that's going to be decided on by someone else. Essentially, it means you booked the room, which is important.
You're in the final running, and they're holding you while they make their final decision.
Right. So,
meanwhile, you can't take anything else that conflicts with the project.
Exactly. But luckily for, like, guest star stuff, it worked the next week. So yeah. I didn't have to wait too long. But basically, I was so excited. I called my parents. I was like, I'm pinned. They were like, what is that? and then I didn't get it. And I was like, but I remember I had called Jordan, and I was like, I'm pinned. And he was like, he wasn't excited enough for me. I was like, you're not excited enough, Jordan.
He's like, I've been pinned.
He's like, I've been pinned 190 times. This, you know, like, I'm so proud of you. I'm so excited for you. But he was a grounding presence and really, you know, was my reality of like, there's a lot of no's. And I found out a few hours later that it was a no. And I wasn't really upset because I was like, never gotten this far before anything.
Well, to be pinned, I mean, especially when you first come out, you haven't been out very long. Like, that is a really huge accomplishment. Yeah. It is like, it's like a rite of passage.
Yeah. So that was amazing. My first pin, I specifically remember like where I was on the highway on the freeway, I guess, when I got that call. But then I went in for Austin and Allie like three or four times. And I loved them. I got along with the casting directors and the producers really well. And I wanted to be on the show so badly. And the very last time, it was because I'd been in so many times, I got a call Thursday night. Okay, there's a role for Austin and Allie. It shoots next week. They want you to come to producers tomorrow. And we're sitting over the sides. And I was like, okay. So I went to go look at it. And it sounded like me. It was like surfer, vegan, and she like dates, you know, Ross, and like he gets offended when he like makes fun of her being vegan. So she was like a very strong female character role. I was like, this is awesome. I'm so excited. I had been in for so many characters on Austin and Allie that I wasn't getting my hopes up, but I was really excited. And you know, I went in and they said, okay, we're going to have some of you stay. There was like 10 of us. So they had like four of us stay. They're like, we're going to have you guys read with Ross. I was like, no way. I texted my little sisters immediately. Because, you know, of course, like, I'm 19 sitting in there to play a 15-year-old role with a bunch of 15-year-old girls.
Which, by the way, is quite normal.
Yeah.
19 plays 15 a lot.
Yeah. So I was like, It was funny because, like, the other girls were talking about how their moms were waiting outside. And so, like, I was like, I wish my mom was here. I miss her so much. But, you know, it was, like, it's different to be in that situation with people so much younger than me. And I was the last to go back. Or the first to go. I was the first to go back. So they were getting Ross from his dressing room, apparently. And they were like, we're going to take you down this hallway. And we're bringing him down the other hallway. And you're going to meet in front of the room. And you'll introduce yourself. And you'll go in and do the scene. And we were walking down the hallway, and I was like, I feel like a mail order bride. And she laughed for a second, and then was like, oh, like, she didn't know how old I was. So she just, like, stopped herself, and she laughed for a second. And so I met him, and immediately I knew that he knew Jordan. Yeah. So I was like, I lived with Jordan Fisher for a while. Love your movies. Yeah. And he was super nice and cool and handsome and tall, you know, just super nice.
He's a sweetie.
And it was a great read. It was fun. And I pinned it. Again, and I didn't get it. It happened every time. And so just, for Austin and I think I pinned all four roles I went in for and didn't get any of them. So I got to the point where I was like, a pin means I didn't get it.
Oh my God.
I don't want to be pinned ever again. So, but I was still plugging along. I felt like I was close. I was like, I'm really close. I was going to class. I was working really hard. And then my mom called me and she said, so there's an audition I just saw on Playbill. It's an open call for Bring It On, the musical.
Oh.
The tour. And she said, you need to go. And I was like, I don't want to go. I live in LA now. Like, I don't want to get in trouble with my agents.
Yeah.
I'm very new here.
I just told them I'm here forever.
So, long story short, I wound up getting it. And so I left LA, which was heart-wrenching. I did not want to leave LA. But it was an incredible experience. I was a standby, so I got to learn all of my dream roles in this show. And I went on once and, you know, and then after that experience, I said, I've got a theater credit. Can I be on Broadway now? That was sort of like my idea because I hadn't booked anything in LA and I had moved out of my apartment there into a storage unit. I was kind of like, I could do anything now. I could do one of two things. I could try New York without school, just auditioning and see what happens. Or I could go back to LA. Go back to my coffee shop job and keep plugging away and hope something happens. But I knew that I knew theater. And that was, like, you know, my initial, like, what I knew how to do.
Like a comfort zone.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I had just come off this tour where I really missed my family. And it was a long, cold winter. and I was like, I think I'm going to give myself 4 months in New York with no school. And just see if I could do what I was doing in LA, which was just auditioning. Without school, without something to do every single day, which seems like such a small thing, but when you have a routine, it can feel like a different world.
Yeah.
And New York to me was a different world because I liked New York when I was in school, when I had a place to be every day, when I had friends and, like, a place to eat and all that kind of stuff. But when I was, like, subletting an apartment with some strangers and didn't have auditions every day and just kind of went to Central Park and, like, ran and, like, didn't have a lot of money and just kind of, it wasn't like LA. Mm-hmm. It was hard for me to, because my mom has always said, happiness starts with you. Happiness comes from within. Smile and the feeling will follow. A job can't make you happy. A career won't make you happy, really.
It's so true.
It's so true. So I just knew that, like, being in LA made me happy. I was where there was sunshine and it made me happy. And I knew that New York, after those 4 months, and I did, like, a little show at New York Musical Theater Festival, which is really fun. But I was like, it's time for me to go back. Like, I had my time to see what that was like, and I really miss LA. So I, basically decided to move back into my old apartment building in Los Angeles. So I had planned to come, I think, at the end of September. I was like, okay. So I spent, like, the summer in New York, and I was like, I'll come at the end of September. Jordan comes to visit at the 1st of August, I want to say. It was the 1st of August. So it was, like, a month or so before I was moving back. He was like, what are you doing? You need to come back to LA. Like, you really need to come back. And I was like, I'm planning on it end of September. He was like, I think you need to come back, like, now. He was like, I don't know why, but I feel like I need to tell you that you need to come back now.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. And, you know, of course, like, feelings or whatever.
Yeah, but
I listened to him. And I said, Mom, Jordan thinks I need to come back now. We should really listen to Jordan. And I somehow got one of my stranger roommates to take over my part of the lease, and I packed up and went back, like, second or third week of August. So, like, about a month and a half before I said I was going to, like, almost immediately after speaking with Jordan. And I got back and I it was like my first week back. And I didn't even go in to visit Pam or Domina, but Lem was like, she's back, let's get her out. So my very first audition was for Scream on MTV, the pilot. And so I was like looking at it, there weren't really any lines. It was interesting. It was like, apparently I think I said like, what did you do was my only line. And then I had to pretend to scream, but not scream, just like cover my mouth. So I was like, this is going to be interesting. It was my very first audition back. I walk in, it was a cattle call, like room full of girls. I waited for like an hour. Ugh. And I went in and I did it. And I was like, it went as well as it could have when you don't really do much in the audition. And then I found out I pinned it later that night. And I was like, okay, well, that means nothing, as we know.
It means something.
But for me, I had a bad experience of being pinned because I'd never booked a pin. And so then a couple hours later, Lynn said, you booked it. It was my first audition back, like my first week back. I was like, this is an omen.
So Jordan tells you you have to come home early. You come home early and you book
the first week back. Right?
I love that.
It's so funny. Yeah. And so I was like, wow. It was my first ever TV job. I was so excited. My next audition, it was supposed to be, I think, so that was a Monday. And then my next audition was Wednesday. And I didn't want to go because it was a little musical. Lem was like, let's just get you back into the auditioning groove. Yeah. There's this little musical happening in West Hollywood. It's called Bronies. It's about boys who like My Little Pony. She was like, let's send you in. There was a cheerleader girlfriend. She was like, so you need to go in. And I've never done this since. Don't know what got into me. I totally blew it off. I just didn't go. Because I was like, and I felt odd because I was so new back that I didn't want to tell Lynn I didn't want to do it. So I just kind of was like, I'm not going to go.
That's bad protocol, girl. Horrible.
So I was awful. And basically she called me. She said, hey. So I rescheduled Bronies for tomorrow. And I was like, all right. I guess I got to go. So my mom was like, why didn't you go? You need to go. So I went the next day. And I sang. And it went really well. And they were like, okay, can you come back in Saturday? And I was like, sure. So I came back in Saturday and read with a bunch of boys. There was a bunch of kind of switcheroonies around, which is probably the name of the Liz and Addie episode.
That's hilarious. I think it is.
But I ended up reading with a boy who I'm now going to be marrying.
Oh, and
that's how we met. We met in the audition room.
That's so cute.
Yeah, and so we both ended up booking it and got to do this musical for 2 months with this awesome guy and met a bunch of cool friends doing it. And the first week of rehearsals, I had to film Scream. And my first ever TV job was a night shoot.
Oh, those are rough.
Which was, I didn't know what to expect. So I was called at like 9. And I, like, got in hair and makeup. And with theater, you always have to go, like, where am I supposed to be? Like, you're supposed to know where you're supposed to be. It's very much, like, you take care of, like, where you're supposed to, your job, you know? And I kept kind of, like, poking my head out, like, am I in the right place? And they're like, yeah, we'll come get you.
Yeah,
like,
we'll come get you.
And I was like, oh, okay, like, are you sure? And I, like, fell asleep on the floor of my trailer, like, with a sweater behind my head and full makeup. And I woke up at 1 to somebody knocking on my door. I was like, oh, my God, I'm late. I've missed it. I've missed my whole scene. And they're like, hey, so we're going to take you back to the makeup trailer in a few minutes, and then we'll go get you shooting. 1 in the morning. So I was like, is this what TV is like?
That's what night shoots are like.
Yeah, it was so cold. And, but it was amazing and so fun and so nerve-wracking, and there was a bunch of stunts involved, and it was really cool. So that night was like, I fell in love with film acting that night, but I was also terrified of it because it was like a night shoot, which was like the most brutal
thing. It's a hard way to start.
Yeah, but it was amazing. I'm so excited. So after that, I guess I kind of just started auditioning and got Young and Hungry, a little like one-liner on Young and Hungry.
Yeah,
and
but every time you do a project, you meet people.
Yeah.
And then those relationships, they lead to things.
Mm-hmm. It was an amazing like first 8 months out here, and Jordan was like, this doesn't happen.
No, you like made a fast run.
I was like,
run.
Let's do it.
You so, started booking
And
like
that's
crazy.
When everything kind of started happening. Mm-hmm. But I was out here for 6 months before I went on tour, you know, and nothing happened. So I had my really hard 6 months. And of course now there's been dry spells and stuff like that, which it happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
It's real life for an actor.
Yeah.
For a genuine, successful working actor. Do you have any auditioning advice at this point for people who, you know, want to do what you do? Anything that has really worked for you or not worked that you'd like to warn people away from?
Gosh. Auditioning advice. I try to be relaxed. I really try to be relaxed. What I was told in musical theater school based on my very first, like, diagnostic audition at the very beginning of college is unwind. You need to unwind just a little bit is what they said to me. And I was like, unwind? What does that mean? What does that mean? And I think that I was just kind of like, this is going to be perfect. And I'm going to be like, hi, how are you? Good to see you, blah, blah, blah. But like being a little bit more of a real person, I think is, for whatever reason, super attractive.
Like dial it back a little bit.
Like, this is just like, I do this every day. What's up, guys? Mm-hmm. Hey. Like, mm-hmm. It's your job that you have to do. And I think like starting to treat it like it was something fun and like laid back instead of like, hi, I'm Anna Grace Barlow. I'm going to be singing blah, 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 which is what I did. Yeah. And it was, that's super abrasive.
Mm-hmm. It's a little obnoxious.
Yeah, a little obnoxious, right? And so I, you know, started relaxing. And I think relaxing was the key for me.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's good
Unwinding.
Advice.
Yeah.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
Probably we all could follow that advice in life.
Definitely,
in
I still could every day.
So what has surprised you about this whole adventure so far? Because you're really still at the beginning, although you're racking up the credits.
Very much at the beginning.
Yeah.
Thank you. But I guess the surprise has been how in love with film acting I am. Because I thought, I need that immediate reaction. I need the applause. I need the whatever, which is, you know, it's amazing. I love theater. And I think that for me, what was surprising is that when I started kind of figuring out how TV and film works, it was so fun. And then I could put all of my energy into one scene, all of it, a whole show's worth of energy into one scene and like kill myself over it and then go home and sleep 12 hours because I put so much into it. And then it's done. I never have to do it again.
Yeah.
And it was really fun for my brain to be able to do new things all the time. Like, you do one thing and then it's over and then you've done it and you move on to the next thing. And that's why TV seems so fun to me. And like, one of my biggest goals is to be a regular on a TV show, because that sounds so fun. Like, you're telling a story week by week.
It is cool because you get to build a character over time.
Yes.
And develop it in a really deep way.
Mm-hmm.
That you just can't in a movie.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Or in theater.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It is a really special art form. What do you think is important and not important for success?
I think it's important to make yourself happy first. And so I think that, like, when I came back here and I was like, ugh. Hiking makes me so happy. Being outside makes me so happy. Going to church with my friends makes me so happy. That the craft and the work became just sort of like something awesome on top of an awesome life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's a key to success, is making yourself happy and giving to other people and making other people happy, which makes you happy, and doing that first and working really hard.
I could not agree more. So when you were out here the first 6 months, when you were just kind of like slogging up the hill, you know, like working at the coffee shop, not getting past the pins.
Yeah.
What did you do for yourself to kind of keep your head up and just like stay focused on your dream?
I think that one of the best pieces of advice I got from Candy Kanicki, my very first film acting teacher, was, if you want to be on TV, you have to watch TV. If you want to be in movies, you got to watch movies. Like, if you want to be on Broadway, you got to see Broadway shows. So I think that, like, the way that I kept my head up was watching TV, which sounds so silly, but it inspired me every day.
Yeah, no, the truth is there's some fantastic TV these days.
There
wasn't always fantastic TV.
Right.
I'm one of those people who literally didn't watch TV for 20 years. You know, it's like, I'd rather do anything
right.
else. But not anymore. There is some amazing, crazy creative stuff out there now.
And I take myself to see movies.
Mm-hmm.
I got good at being by myself, to be honest. And my mom said, I was like, I want friends. How do I make friends? And the people who worked at the coffee shop with me were older. They were married. They had families. Nobody was like, you know, like friend
20.
Material, you know? And like they, in the sense that like they had time to hang out with me. And so my mom said, you need to focus on work. And when you work, friends will come, because they're working
true.
As hard as you are. And so I just put all my energy into that. And so the friends that I've made have been, you know, like friends with Ryan McCartan, because we did Summer Forever together. But I met him because of Jordan and Dove.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was just, and when I met him at a costume fitting, he was like, you're Jordan's friend. And I was like, yeah. And then we became friends just over the course of that movie. And I think that that's where all my best friendships have come from. But the way that I stayed, like, my head in the game was, like, watching TV and really trying to make it happen in my head and imagining, like, you know, what do they call it? Making it happen in your head.
Visualizing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that can be really, really powerful.
Manifesting it.
Manifesting it. Manifesting it. What have been your biggest challenges in this whole journey so far?
I don't know. Social media. I feel like the biggest challenge has been feeling like I want to be this kind of old-fashioned, like, kind of off the radar. I really would like to be. I feel like that would be amazing to just be somebody who could do film and not have to tweet or whatever. You know what I mean? And not have to build a following and just to be able to let the work speak for itself. But these days, that's impossible.
It's, unfortunately, it's part of your job. It's literally part of your job now if you're an actor. It's like, it has nothing to do with acting.
Yeah. It's like, I have to post cool pictures.
Like, what?
No!
In my spare time, which I don't have.
Yeah, and I feel like that has come along in the last, like, really, really strongly in the last 2 years since I've been here.
I would agree.
It's just really become, like, social media is the, you know, what you have to have. So that's been the biggest challenge, is, like, keeping myself on the hip trends as far as that goes.
Yeah, yeah. And at the same time, finding a way to stay authentic.
Yeah.
And keep your own voice while doing that. It's quite a tightrope for a lot of performers to walk. So I want to know a little bit before we wrap up about your project that you just came off of, the world premiere of The Prom. It looks like so much fun.
It was amazing. It was so much fun. It's my favorite role that I've ever played. And the way that it happened, which is crazy, is I was doing Bronies, that musical, and I got a tape request from the New York office. They were like, there's this new Casey Nicholaw musical, and he directed Book of Mormon and Aladdin and Something Rotten on Broadway. So he, big shot guy. And I was like, okay. And the music was written by the guy who wrote Wedding Singer and also Elf the musical. So it was just like really like big shot people. I was like,
serious.
I'll make a tape. This isn't going to happen though. And the song was like so catchy and cute. And it was to play a gay girl who's like in the closet, like a closeted cheerleader. And so I just sent off the tape. I was like, this probably isn't going to happen. And 2 months later they called and they were like, can you do it? And I was like, I'd love to. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
So I flew to New York on my own dime. It was like I was a local hire. So I flew there.
Talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Because you were living in L.A.
I was living in L.A.
And the project's in New York.
And they said local hire.
So what does that mean for people who don't understand?
That means that they're not going to put you up, basically.
They're not going to pay for your flights. They're not going to pay for your hotel.
Housing,
Or even per diem, probably.
Right, no per diem. So they were like, you basically have to, if you don't live in New York, you have to pretend like you live in New York and act as if you live in New York. So I was like, I'll be a local hire for this. I will go. And luckily, my mom was doing a medical meeting that week in New York. So I just got to stay in her hotel, which was paid for by the medical meeting.
Perfect.
Which was great. So I got to do it that week. It was a 29-hour reading, and I was really sick because it was really cold. I wasn't used to being in the cold because I'd been living in L.A., and I got really sick, and me and the girl I played opposite of were both really sick, and we're like, there's no way they're going to ask us back if it goes farther, but we knew we loved the project. And so I got a call a couple months later. We're doing it in a lab version this summer. It's like 6 months after the first reading, and we want you to do it. And I was like, really? Okay, that sounds great. But it was a month. And so I had to kind of move to New York for a month. And I wanted to transition to not be a local hire for that one. So we worked something out with them where they helped give me like a living stipend. So I could, a housing stipend so that I could pay to live there.
Yeah.
And you know, everybody got per diem and stuff at that point. So that was really fun. Spending a month there and working on the show. And the workshop lab is what we were doing, and it basically, you put it on its feet. There's set pieces, but no costumes, so it's sort of like rehearsal before tech.
Mm-hmm. It's very stripped down.
Very stripped down.
Kind of working.
Yes.
Version.
And so we really changed the show a lot, and it grew a lot. And then we did like five presentations at the end, and it was really well received. And everybody was super excited, and they were like, we had not heard about Broadway, but basically before our first presentation, our producers went out, and they were like, we're hoping for Broadway season 2016, 2017, or 2017, 2018, and we were like, what? They want to take this to Broadway? What? So, and then Casey Nicholaw was like, we're actually thinking of doing an out-of-town tryout in Los Angeles. I was like, that would be amazing. I'd love to stay home.
That would be ideal. Yes,
please.
That would
be ideal. So then a couple months later, I got a call that they actually decided to do it in Atlanta, which was fine.
Atlanta's so great.
Yeah. So, and at that point, they asked a few of us to sign a first right of refusal, which means if it goes further, we get to you know, have dibs, basically, mm-hmm. on our roles.
Which is incredible.
Which is amazing that they did that
so
for us.
So you originated this role.
Yes, yes.
That's like something that actors just dream of doing.
It's been a dream. I still don't, I don't know who okayed this. I don't know how it happened. I asked Casey, I was like, so how, off of one tape, when you saw a bunch of girls, he's like, I don't know,
They just know. Casting directors have that gift. Yeah. They do.
So anyways, it's been so much fun. I just spent 3 months in Atlanta putting it up, and we worked on it a lot, and we got it on its feet, and I had a wig and a cheerleading outfit finally after, you know, like 2 years. And they were thinking of taking it to Broadway, hopefully, knock on wood, really soon. So I really, really hope it does, because it's really beautiful, and it means so much to me. And it's a part that's, you know, I'm not gay, and that's what's, like, we'd get questions, like, what's it like to be, you know, gay or playing a gay girl. Mm-hmm. And me and Caitlin, we're like, we're not. But mm-hmm. it's amazing to be able to filter a character through yourself.
Yep, that's what acting is.
Yeah. And like Alyssa's me, but mm-hmm. she's gay. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's really interesting. And she has a different relationship with her mom than I do. And it was the most fun I've ever had. So emotional and fun and just the biggest challenge. Doing theater again was like, it is so challenging to reproduce that kind of
over and over
every night. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was so much fun.
I'm just so excited for you. And it's just, it's so thrilling to see, you know, you and your whole cohort of crazy talented kids. I mean, you're all young adults now. I will always think of you as kids, but like finding your feet and just like really going somewhere, you know. I'll be crossing my fingers for you with this project and everything else.
Thank you so much.
And I just want to say it's just so fun to see you, you know, like really, really hitting
it. Thank you. It's been amazing.
And I love the way you share these authentic stories from your life with us, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about how fast things happen. Right. It's like, no, this was a 2-year process.
Yeah.
And yes, we just did 3 months in Atlanta and we're hoping it goes to Broadway.
Right.
It's not like you go in a couple of times and then there you are.
Yeah.
In Times Square, it's like,
no. There's a lot. And praying you get asked to do the next one.
Yeah.
And people get replaced all the time. I feel like really lucky that I wasn't ever replaced or I haven't been yet.
And that happens in film and TV too.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Jordan says, it takes 10 years to become an overnight success.
We've seen that so much. Mm-hmm. But I think we're seeing the overnight success happening with all of you guys now.
Gosh,
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
Before we go, I just want to say, how can people find you on your social media?
Yes, on Twitter and Instagram, I'm at TheRealAGBarlow, which I copied from Demi Lovato in 8th grade. And then I have a Facebook page. It's just Anna Grace Barlow.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you like what you heard here, subscribe to this free podcast and leave a quick rating and review. A moment to click on a star rating really helps. And a minute to write a sentence-long review makes a real difference in the ranking for this podcast. Thank you so much for helping me. Do you want to know more about getting a young actor up and running in Hollywood? Buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. And if you need specific help getting your career or your child's career up and running or to the next level, you can get a one-on-one consultation with me over Skype or in person in Los Angeles. Go to my website, hollywoodparentsguide.com, and click on the consultations page. Thanks, and see you next week.